You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello everybody, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with John Gibby, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. We've got meetings at Brighton, Carlisle and Uttoxeter throughout the afternoon. Evening action on the all-weather at Chelmsford and at Wolverhampton. So we've got racing on the turf, racing over the obstacles and all-weather action to look forward to. Plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Andrew Mount. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good. Good time of year, this, isn't it? You've got superb stuff still to come on the flat, i.e. Champions Weekend, or Champions Day at Ascot this weekend. Start of the good jumpers really coming back out and the jump season starts to kick up. You've still got all-weather racing for people like yourself as well.
That's right, yeah. Something for everyone.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
A bit of rain around as well recently to make things easy for the jumpers.
Yes, not so easy to figure out with regards to Ascot because it's heavy in places there, isn't it, on the weekend? So
yeah, I think they're saying that with the dry forecast it's going to be no worse than soft come Saturday, but it's the usual sort of autumn deluge and soft ground Champions Day that we've had in recent years.
Yeah, seems to be the par for the course now, doesn't it? So it's no real surprise that we've got the same again. We'll talk about all that in a moment or two. Just want to quickly mention the news about Enable. Dual arc winner, she's going to go to the Breeders' Cup, which is I'd say well, you said before we started recording, a sporting move. Which,
yeah, fantastic, yeah, isn't good. It? It would be easier to sort of put her away for the season, having won that second arc. And good to see her getting on a plane and going to take on the best of the Americans.
She is superb, isn't she? And she's had a light campaign, so a back-end campaign probably wouldn't be too bad for her.
No, absolutely. And yeah, John Gosden seems to know what he's doing, so if he thinks she's well enough to take in another race, then
who are we to argue? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Good stuff. Anyway, let's concentrate on some of the action coming up a bit closer than that. We're going to look at two races on the card on Saturday at Ascot, Champions Day there. Two races that Andrew has a strong opinion in, so we thought we'd focus on those. The first of them is the British Champion Sprint Stakes, which is a 6 furlong Group 1. No surprise really to see the Tin Man at the top of the market given his superb record at the track. He's 5-2, 9-2 Labrisa Breeze, Harry Angel 6-1, 8-1 for Brando, Taz Leet is 9-1, it's 12s for Lamato, 16 Sons of Marley and Sir Dancelot. Son of Rest is also 16-1 along with Projection, and 20s or bigger for the others. Obviously these haven't had the final declarations through yet, but if those sprinters turn up, we've got a real good sprint on our hands.
Absolutely, and given the first prize of almost £360,000, I think most of these listed at the moment are going to turn up, and you can understand why.
Yeah.
My first in to this race was to oppose the Tin Man. I've long had a theory about him that he doesn't sort of back up a good run necessarily, and he's only done that once. His 8 previous wins, so he followed up the first of them after his maiden win, but since then he's gone 0-7 when bidding to double up. So a winner last time out in the Sprint Cup at Haydock, of course. I don't necessarily think he's going to repeat that, and I certainly wouldn't want to be backing him around about the 5-2 mark. So I'm going to go with the current second favourite, Labrisa Breeze. 9-2 with us here at William Hill at the moment. Doesn't exactly have inspiring form figures going into this contest, 9th, 9th, 4th and 8th, but that's because he's been running on a suitably quick ground all year, and his 4 runs have come on good or faster ground, and certainly wasn't disgraced a couple of runs ago at Deauville when finishing 4th of 20 as a 23-1 shot. The last time he had suitable underfoot conditions, he won this race last year by a length and a quarter from Taz Leet. He's a strong travelling type, loves Ascot, loves soft ground, and with conditions in his favour and with the Dean Ivory yard among the winners, I think Le Breeze a Breeze can follow up last year's victory.
Le Breeze a Breeze to win it for a second year in a row than for Andrew, and that is a 9-2 chance. In the market at the moment, one of the big races, or another of the big races on the card, is the QE2, or the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes, if you prefer, which is a mile Group 1, and the market at the time of recording this, headed by Roaring Lion at 3-1, Recoletos is 7-2, Lord Glitters is 9-2, Lawrence is 5-1, Adib is... Adib is 6-1, 12-1. Beat the back tech, any of them. Happily is 12-1 as well, 14s or bigger for the remainder. I like the look of this race. Well, I suppose a lot of people would. Roaring Lion has been a real superstar of the three-year-olds, three-year-old boys anyway. Lauren's a star, three-year-old filly, others in the mix as well. What do you make of the race?
Yeah, it's a cracker. The one I'm really looking forward to is Adib for William Haggis, this son of Pivotal. Loves to get his toe in and has been rested since finishing mid-division in the Lockinge back in May. Now, he was only 7-2 for that race in a field of 14, a Group 1 contest over the straight mile at Newbury, but good to firm ground was no good to him, and he was drawn poorly. He came out of stall 14 of 14 that day. The low-drawn runners down the middle of the track were strongly favoured. The first three home drawn 2, 7 and 5 of 14. And if you were anywhere near that standside rail, you had a little chance. Now, he was a winner first time out this season at Doncaster in the spring mile. Sorry, in the Lincoln itself. And then next time out, won in Group 2 company at Sandown. Those runs coming on soft ground and good to soft ground respectively. So underfoot conditions were just way too quick for him at Newbury. And he comes here a fresh horse. He has plenty of form after a break. Gets his ground. The track should suit him perfectly. He's only had one run at Ascot previously. That was on the round course and he won that, despite the ground being on the quick side. So I think Adib is going to take the beating here. 6-1 from 10-1 in the last week or so. So I still think there's a bit of juice in that price.
All right. Adib then well backed and with good reason. For Andrew then, and we also have the Champion Stakes on the card, by the way. Cracksman 5-6 to retain his crown there. Crystal Ocean 11-4, Roaring Lion 9-2 if he turns up in that instead. Capri 7-1, 14s Monarch's Glen and 16s or bigger for the others. We've got all that to look forward to at Ascot on Saturday, British Champions Day, another superb renewal in prospect. But let's turn our attention to matters closer to hand, Andrew, because we've got racing coming up, of course, on Thursday. Are you going to Brighton for the first of your selections? The 405 is Division 2 of this particular handicap over a mile. Got a field of 10 set to go to post here. Who comes out on top for you?
Yeah, it's not exactly the Champion Stakes, is it?
It's not.
Quite a come down from those Ascot races we were just talking about.
But the winner of this gets paid out the same.
Yeah, hopefully there's a good betting opportunity. I mean, 8 of the 10 in this Class 5 handicap wear headgear. So that tells you how reliable they probably are. Mm. But the interesting one for me is number 5, A Blaze of Hearts for Dean Ivor. I think this one actually wears the same colours as Le Breeze a Breeze. Now, a couple of runs ago, Blaze of Hearts lived up to his name and went off like an absolute lunatic into a very fierce headwind at Yarmouth. And needless to say, finished out the back of the telly behind Pactolus, winner for William Hill Radio's Tom Morley. Now, next time out, he was on the all-weather. I thought you can put a line through that Yarmouth run, and I took a chance on him at a big price. I think he was around about 33-1. Nibbled out in the betting into 16s in the first time blinkers on the all-weather at Lingfield. Looked the pace angle in the race, but he completely blew the start. And I thought that was him done. He was going to finish sort of, you know, last or thereabouts. He's actually made some good late progress and finished in mid-division. Now, that was a decent effort given what happened at the start. They swapped those blinkers for a first-time visor today. And well-drawn in stall 3. Robert Winston on board, who gets on well with him. Hopefully he'll be able to make the running here and give us a good run for our money. And he should be a decent price as well.
Could be a good few days for Dean Ivory then, Blaze of Hearts. The selection there in that 405 at Brighton, and you go to the 645 at Chelmsford City next, which is a novice stakes over 7 furlongs. Not all that much form really to go on here, Andrew. So what's made you pick this?
Yeah, there's a horse that's been in my tracker since his debut effort, and that's... Orr, who was a winner at Redcar last time out. Now, going back to that debut run at Newmarket, sorry, at Yarmouth, beg pardon, on the 19th of September. So a really decent effort, again, into the headwind. And finished seventh, but was only beaten by three lengths. And given the fact that he got no cover at all, that marked him up as one to follow. Next time out, he's gone to Redcar, and Redcar is a track that strongly favours front runners and early pace. And he's had to overcome a slow start this time, and met trouble in running. Also, had to be switched. Then got up to beat Godolphin's 11-8 favourite Snowstorm by a length. And I think there should be plenty more to come back on the all-weather here. And hopefully from stall two, he'll be ridden more prominently than he was at Chelmsford last time out. But might be a respectable price, given that he's got to concede weight to all of his rivals as well. Mm-hmm. But I'll take the penalised or to follow up that Redcar win.
OK, or in the 6:45 to go along with Blaze of Hearts in the 4:05. Thank you very much, Andrew. Been a pleasure as always.
Yep,
good luck.
You, Mark.
Enjoy it on Thursday.
Cheers.
There you go, that's the thoughts of Andrew Martin on Thursday's racing, and a little bit of a glance towards the weekend as well. You'll hear all of Thursday's action on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. John Gibby, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth, the team in the studio. Brighton, Carlisle and you talk to the afternoon meetings, and Chelmsford City and Wolverhampton throughout the evening. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.